Hey everybody, welcome to the U of A Basketball Weekly Podcast. This week we're going to be recapping the LA trip, talk a little bit about the upcoming Washington schools that are coming here down to Tucson. And we have a lot to talk about, but this podcast I'm going to try to run through it pretty quick because last one ran a little bit longer just to recap a lot of stuff. This time I'm actually heading to the Washington State game very soon today, so I needed to get this up. So we're going to run through it pretty quick. It's going to be shorter than the normal one, but because there's not as much to talk about. But there are some very great things that happened this weekend, and we're going to start that right off by talking about Alonzo Trier. So last week we talked about how, I was becoming uncertain if he would ever be back. Talked a little bit more about the speculation behind it. Well, on Wednesday of last week, we got the real story of Alonzo Trier, and that story was that he had gotten to a car accident over the summer, and to recover from his injuries, a medical professional gave him some kind of NCAA banned substance in order to recover from his injuries. He was able to prove to the NCAA that he took it unknowingly and that it wasn't his fault, being administered by a medical professional, and therefore he won the appeal. The thing was, though, is that the NCAA had kind of a secondary thing, despite the fact that they cleared him to play because he won the appeal, and that was that they wanted the drug to 100% leave his system. Now, I heard that the drug in no way helped or hurt his ability to play basketball, which is kind of what makes that extra rule that they threw on it kind of over the top, and especially since it was such a small trace, if you know how exponential decay works, it'd take very, very long for that to leave his system, as it obviously did since he won the appeal all the way back into September, I believe. So obviously a very long time has passed since then, but that story was broken Wednesday night, and then on Friday night, Trier actually got cleared to play by the NCAA, and that was announced all over social media. That was actually the night before the UCLA game. There's a lot of speculation whether or not it actually came back at 0% in his drug test, or whether or not it was because of the bad publicity the NCAA was getting from ESPN and other sports writers' stories, especially the one from Jeff Goodman, who's very close with Sean Miller, whether or not this was kind of like a tactical thing to try to speed the NCAA along, or if he actually just came back with 0%. In my opinion, I think the timing's just unbelievable. That happened 2 days after they broke the story. I kind of want to lean on the side that maybe, you know, that probably spurred it along. Maybe it wasn't exactly 0.00%. Obviously, I'm not positive of that, but that's what the NCAA told Arizona, and so Trier was cleared. So this is a big boost before the UCLA game, but before we're going to talk about that, we're going to talk about the SC game, which was a pretty interesting one. So obviously, going into SC, everyone wanted Arizona to focus on USC and not get too preoccupied thinking about UCLA, like the big team looming ahead. Because, like I talked about last week, just getting a split on this LA trip is still solid. We're going to still be in the race for the Pac-12. Obviously, it'd be a little bit harder, but you have to at least split in order to stay competitive. And so when we went to SC, very dominant in the first half. Us defensively, offensively, we struggled a little bit, but our defense was great. Held them to 19 points at the half. It was absolutely dominant defensively. USC is a great offensive team too, so it was really impressive that we were able to do that. It was really a good sign going forward. But then, of course, it came to the second half, which we had trouble against ASU coming back. We had trouble against, obviously Texas A&M, Colorado, lots of teams coming back into the game in the second half, and that's something that Sean Miller's been warning against. And the SC game was no different. They came back from what I believe was like 23 down. And we broke down defensively in the second half a lot. We found it really hard to score at a lot of times. Overall, throughout that game, I thought USC played tremendous defense. It really seemed like they had more men out there than just five. So So props to them, obviously, on stopping us from scoring. But it was our defense that that really seemed to lack in that game, in that second half. So they brought it all the way to, I believe, 4 or so. Very close game. But Lowry helped us out. You know, got us out of a bunch of pinches. He made a game-winning bank shot, basically, that was kind of the nail in the coffin after who knows how much time had passed since we even got a field goal. The one thing I'm going to have to comment on that is that USC scored 19 points in the first half and then 47 in the second. So very similar to the ASU game. Sean Miller said at the end that, you know, that's just unbelievable that they're coming back in the second. And if the U of A were to do that against UCLA, they'd lose by 30. So a couple key points. I think that we just ran out of gas at the end. Something from lack of depth. Something Miller's attributed those bad endings defensively to games to. Lack of depth, just not having the manpower when you're having guys all play 30-plus minutes a game. It gets to that point. They're kind of running out of gas, and Sean Miller made the point that they're still going to want to play on offense. It's the defense that starts going away. So some things that I think that they need to work on, I think they need to try to get Deuce on the ball more. He's been so proficient and just efficient lately. It's unbelievable. Every single time he takes a shot, it looks like it's going in. It looks weird if it misses. Kind of no matter where he is near the hoop, even if he's taking those, you know, farther just within the three-point line jumpers. I mean, he's been rock solid. This SC game, they just didn't really get him established that much, in my opinion. I'm pretty sure he had no baskets in the first half, and then he kind of did well there at the second, but that's something they'd need to get back into. I know he's had great games recently. The guards need to be able to pass within the zone and get it to him, because those are easy points, or fouls. And he's very good at the line. So something that I definitely want to see them be doing more is get better interior passing from the guards from the perimeter inside to Deuce, especially during when teams are playing zone, which I know is hard to do, but that's definitely something you need to work on. And at the end, Miller really questioned the team's effort, right? He questioned whether or not they really cared to play, if guys were kind of taking the end of the second half off, that he would bench them. So he was obviously very frustrated with that, but obviously a win's a win, and already guaranteed our LA split at the very least. And we headed to UCLA on Saturday and hope for the sweep. So going to UCLA obviously was a tremendous game. Unfortunately, it wasn't College Game Day. It was Miami versus Duke. Even though this definitely seemed like the marquee matchup of the day, it was all anyone over social media was talking about. The best offense in like the entire nation versus the best defense in the Pac-12 at Arizona. And obviously we had just gotten Alonzo Trier cleared. Obviously he wasn't going to start, but it was interesting to see what kind of performance he had off the bench. So to start off, UCLA really couldn't stop us on offense. It was kind of the Kobe and Lowry show for a while. You know, it really exposed UCLA's problem. A dire weakness with that team is that they can fill it up like no other, but if you're able to play decent defense, and we didn't play great defense, if you're able to play decent defense and just score a ton on their very, very weak defense, I mean, at times, there was like almost no one there, no one, especially in the interior, and U of A kind of seemed like they went in the game plan of playing really hard defense, trying to slow the tempo down, but maybe it just evolved to the point where the game got at such a fast pace, probably the fastest pace I've seen us play in a long time, and we really beat UCLA at their own game. You know, outran them a lot of times. If we didn't get back in transition, they obviously made us pay. They're a great team and off, you know, in transition. It's hard to not to stop them from scoring. But I think that that's also one of their weaknesses, is if we're rebounding well and we're making shots, they can't run as well, right? At times they were sending out three guards as soon as someone took a shot. They barely even defended on it. And if it didn't go, and we got a rebound, and it was pretty much an easy basket, or if it went in, which obviously helped them at times, because sometimes they'd have obviously three-on-one situations, and that happened multiple times, but maybe not the best technique against a team that's really great offensively. I think they ran into the same kind of thing when they played USC yesterday, and I'll talk a tiny bit about that. So obviously very fast pace. UCLA, you know what, they're as advertised, they're very good on offense. This exposed a very lacking defense, but their offense is totally there. Lonzo Ball is the real deal. The deep threes he was shooting with his very ugly stroke, almost seemed like there was no way they were going in, and he drained almost every single one. To just comment, you know, the seniors for UCLA really stepped up in the second half. They started hurting us from the perimeter, Isaac Hamilton and Bryce Alford. One thing that I think really helped us was that both Thomas Welsh and TJ Leaf were kind of underwhelming in the front court. I think that's where U of A really, really won the battle, was that their guards looked fantastic, obviously Kobe, but I think Lowry really won the marquee matchup, which was him against TJ Leaf. TJ Leaf, to me, had a very underwhelming game. It almost seemed like he was never in there, and if he was, he was never really that great. He did a couple things where he got easy offensive rebounds and whatever, mostly off U of A's own errors, but it never seemed like he was creating too much or really knocking down too many shots. I don't really know what his stat line finished at, but overall he seemed very underwhelming. I was surprised about that. So obviously U of A held off a late push in the second half. I think UCLA cut it to 4-ish, kind of closer to the same score USC cut it to. U of A, you know, was able to pull that out, extend the lead more, and finish the game up 11. So just a little bit of the stats. We looked great from three. We were 9 of 20. That's tremendous, obviously, from a team that is normally not that great of a three-point shooter team, or was said to not be. And then not a lot of free throws in the first half, but a lot more in the second. We actually finished 19 of 21 from free throw, which is fantastic. And I believe we only had 7 turnovers, and we were able to out-rebound UCLA 42-33. And those were really big reasons why we were able to win. Obviously, going into the next thing, I'm going to talk a little bit about Trier and PJC's performance in that game. Obviously, Lowry and Kobe burned them. Kobe was unreal, and Lowry was able to hit really, really tough, good threes that really kept pushing the lead and silencing the crowd. But Kobe was on fire. He couldn't be stopped, and there were a couple that, you know, maybe he should have gotten or were close to maybe even pushing up more. He finished with 20 points, I believe, so he had a fantastic game. Definitely his best game for U of A yet, next to the Michigan State game, and his ability to catch fire like he did at the start of the Cal game, this in the start of the second half at Cal. So just to talk about Trier and PJC, Trier held his own. You know, I think he finished with 11 or 12 points, 7 rebounds and 4 assists, which is a great stat line. I think a lot of pressure was put on him. Jay Williams on ESPN talking about how he's going to be dropping the most anyone is today. You know what? Sometimes it happens to go out that way, but when you're playing a good team like UCLA and you're playing in a balanced offense and you know what, with that pressure and no game experience over the past 19 games, not this is his debut this season, 19 games in, that expectation is not really there. He played a great game. I think he missed a couple shots that he could have made. But overall, especially when you saw the coast-to-coast that he did on UCLA right before the half, kind of showed that his confidence is back. And I think that you're going to see that over this Washington week, that he's really going to do very, very well this week, I think, and he's going to really get back into it. Last thing I want to talk about UCLA is PJC's shooting. I think he finished with, like, 3 field goals. I know he made 2 threes. And I don't think he took that many. So PJC making some shots, and that's good for his confidence. Against USC, I think he had his worst game that he's had this year at all. He was not very good. Just in general, I think he had a hard time. But he really looked good in the UCLA game. He was orchestrating well. There was one where he got Alonzo's first points of the season when he just drove in and the entire UCLA defense tried to, you know, close in on him, and he just threw the most beautiful outlet pass straight to Alonzo Chir wide open, and Alonzo just knocked it down. It was beautiful play. So I think PJC's shooting's coming back. Trier looked good, and after this UCLA game, there's a lot of things to feel good about U of A. Obviously, AP poll has us ranked number 7 this week. Oregon at number 10, UCLA at number 8. However, UCLA also just lost to USC last night. More about their lack of defense, and I've thought this before, but UCLA has always seemed a team that when they lost their confidence and swagger after taking a couple losses, I could really see them being a team where kind of the wheels would start coming off. I feel like a big part of them is like that attitude, that confidence, that swagger that especially someone like Lonzo Ball brings. And until they're able to play good defense, they're going to continue to be a great offensive team, but lose tough games. So that's good for U of A down the stretch, trying to win the Pac-12 title. Obviously, pretty much knocks UCLA out of the race, which before this past weekend, they were obviously the best team at the Pac to most people. So going to player grades over the weekend, I'm just going to be rattling through, not spend a lot of time on either one. First off, PJC, I gave him a C+. I think he had a really poor game at USC, but I think he really turned it around for a solid enough game at UCLA. He was kind of like the lowest rating next to Pinder for the weekend. His shooting returning for UCLA is really kind of what brought him up, because his game at USC was not his best, obviously. But his ability to be solid against UCLA, make some great plays, knock down a couple shots to see his confidence coming back, I think really helped him out this weekend. Next is Kadeem. I give him a B. He was solid defensively, and he made a lot of big offensive plays. Or I think he made like 2-and-1s against UCLA or so. Really solid driving to the rim. He's a great three-point shooter. He's proved that in conference play so far. But I wonder how much of that is just being lucky, knocking down a good amount of shots, or if he's actually improving on that a ton. I like to see him drive to the rim more. I think that's kind of his strong suit. Like I said, great defensively, made a lot of big stops. He was guarding Bryce Alford. A lot of people thought he was going to guard Lonzo Ball, including myself, who Kobe was on most of the time. And Bryce Alford did not have a good first half. I don't know if he got more than like one basket in that first half, but I know it wasn't a lot. So he really played on him very well, especially against Alford, who's burned us in the past. And he did a little bit more in the second, but I think Kadeem did a good job of locking him down for the most part. The next person is Comanche. I gave him a B- because it seemed like he kind of struggled at USC. He made, you know, a couple plays, but overall just kind of seemed like a non-factor, especially near the end. I don't think he got near as much playing time. But he was solid at UCLA. He had fantastic post positioning. He made some really tough shots, some good shots. He made one like beautiful jumper. And man, in transition, when he's going up for alley-oops and stuff, or he's just getting the ball passed in by PJC down low, he's very fluid on finishing and the alley-oops and stuff like that. It looks very smooth. So then now going on to Kobe, he got an A, so he was all right at SC. He didn't do that fantastic, but he went off at UCLA, broke Alford's ankles at one point on this jumper, and then jawed at him a little bit to get that technical, which is kind of ridiculous, but I'm not sure exactly what he said, so maybe that was warranted. But when he's going, the team needs to just get him the ball. He took some, you know, ill-advised shots at times, but you're okay with those. You'll take those when he's on fire, because he can make those. And when he's going good, he's going good. He had 20 points, 5 assists, and 6 boards, which are phenomenal numbers. If he had a good game against SC, he would have really given Lowry a run for his money for Pac-12 player of the week. So Raleigh, I give B minus. I feel like his shooting has maybe slowed down a little bit. He was mostly just solid in both games, seeming more role-like. Had some foul trouble early in the UCLA game, but that was where the Alonzo Trier coming back really helped him. You could really slot Alonzo in Raleigh's spot, and that would made the team a lot easier, I think. Even though Raleigh wasn't able to necessarily get it going the whole time against UCLA, he still had a solid role game, and I expect more from him, especially coming up to these Washington schools. Dusan, I gave him a B-, very quiet at SC because no one was really giving him the ball. It was hard for them to get to him. I thought he was solid at UCLA. I think he's had these past two games a lot less passing to and his opportunities to score, which I think has kind of hurt us despite winning both games and looking really good at UCLA and coming out with that win. But I expect him to, return to form. I only think that was just one kind of weird weekend where he wasn't getting the ball as much. It was less that he was missing his shots that he normally makes. Pinder, I gave a C, which is pretty much the lowest rating. I thought he gave a solid effort at SC. I thought that he helped get some good rebounds and stuff like that, but I think he had a hard time at UCLA. He can't be played in tough games like that until he really develops, an offensive ability to really hit some shots. And, he's missed a lot of shots that I've seen him make, and I think he's a better player than he showed recently. Especially with the depth changing with Trier coming back, I think his minutes might even get a little bit shorter. I'd like to see him more, but I think his offense needs to improve in order for him to really get more minutes. For Trier, obviously he only played the UCLA game, so I'm only going to judge him on that. And I gave him a B+. I think at the first half he struggled to start, but as soon as it hit like that 2-minute mark left in the first half, he went off. I think he had like 7 points in that stretch. He had a lot of pressure on him going into that game, and I thought that he really showed that he can strive in that kind of stuff, and I think that he's going to have a really good week against these Washington schools. Obviously, his coast-to-coast comes to mind. It was a beautiful play. With about 4 seconds left, he pretty much went the full court and just laid it in with a beautiful shot at the buzzer. And then, last but not least, Lowry. And that's an A+. He was unbelievable. He averaged over 20 points per game on the entire LA trip. 23 at USC, and I believe 18 at UCLA, and he hit them at clutch moments. Obviously, that big lucky bank shot at USC, but also was, that was kind of the nail of the coffin there, but also his big and one dunk that he made off of PJC's very nice under the backboard pass, which obviously PJC meant to do, and he dunked that and got the and one to basically put the nail in the coffin in the UCLA game. So he's really made big plays at big times and has showed that he's kind of the go-to guy. It's going to be interesting to see what happens from now on with him and Trier, but I think for right now, until Trier really gets into it again, Lowry still is that guy to make a shot because he's unbelievable. He did obviously fantastic, won Pac-12 Player of the Week. For how good he was at the LA schools, and obviously the conference knows how tough it is to win, especially at both those schools. And I think he definitely totally rocked TJ Leaf in their matchup, which was a big thing people were talking about. Looking at the 2017 draft, I think that was a big question when you were looking at these stretch fours. And I think Lowry really showed that he was very, very much more dominant than TJ. So that's the recap for the LA week. Overall, I thought we played really well. Obviously, lost some intensity at the end of SC, but the way that we looked, especially offensively, against UCLA was beautiful, and I think you can contribute a lot of that to Trier coming back. I think emotionally, it helped the team, and just depth-wise, it really gave them something extra. So, moving really quickly into the Washington schools preview, there's not a lot of talk about these two teams. Both are kind of lower middle of the tier Pac-12 teams. Obviously, Washington State, they're on the upswing. They've stolen a couple Pac-12 games, and they almost won a tough one at Cal. I think they only lost by, like, one shot. And I think they're going to finish near the middle, which is a significant improvement. They were picked to finish last in the Pac this year, so I think that that's really good. They have an absolute stud of a player in Josh Hawkinson. He's great. He averages a double-double. He's been there for a really long time, very experienced. And I just love Ernie Kent. I used to watch him on the Pac-12 Sports Report thing, Pac-12 Basketball Playbook or whatever, a while ago. And I think he's doing a really solid job. He's getting them to play fast, you know, and he's not necessarily getting the best players. And the fact that they've been able to scrape out some wins against good teams, especially in this Pac, in the Pac-12 when it's looking pretty solid so far, I think that this team's going to go under new heights under him. I think they're going to be very good. It's obviously a huge rebuild. That program's been kind of dashed in the past, but I think he's doing a great job. Overall, I don't think that it's going to be a difficult game whatsoever. I think it'll pose more of a threat maybe than Washington, but I think Chur's going to have a solid game as well as Raleigh, especially in both these games. I think those are my two that I look to see have solid games, Raleigh to kind of return to form, Doosan as well, but Chur to kind of just get really ironed out this week and get back into the mode, and I'm interested to see what the team runs with the new offense with him in and stuff like that. I think they're going to be able to do more with everyone, because everyone's going to be in their position a little bit more, how Sean Miller expected it at the start of the year. But to talk about Washington State a tiny bit more, they have a very, very solid freshman guard. I can't remember his name. I feel like it was Malachi or so. Malachi Flynn, I believe. He's tremendous. I watched him in a couple games. He's really solid. That's a really good guy, especially as a freshman, putting up the numbers that he is and making very big plays. That's going to be someone that's really going to help them down the stretch these next 3 years, as long as he stays there. So I think that's really great for Washington State. I've always really liked Ernie Kent, and I think he's doing a really good job this season. So that game's obviously tonight, but then on Sunday, we've got the Washington game. Now, Washington is not going to make the NCAA tournament with the possible number one draft pick. Very similar to LSU last year, even though people don't like the comparison. I do. I think in this case it's even worse because Washington should have a good starting point. I know they lost a lot to the draft last year, but they continue to do a good job recruiting and have yet to make the tournament in a long, long time. I think Lorenzo Romar needs to be fired. I think that Washington's never been an amazing, amazing program, but they're too big of a program, and they get too good of recruits, especially with how many good recruits there are in the Seattle area. Seattle's obviously a hotbed for a lot of great basketball recruits. Too many good recruits there and too many good players that they see going there, and they never make the tournament. That's just unacceptable. I think that they really need to look at moving on from that coach, even though he's pulling in these great players. So Markel Fultz is great, potential number one pick in the NBA draft next year, although I don't agree. I think it should be Lonzo Ball. Really looking at him, he's the reason that the UCLA team is able to do what it does offensively. Obviously, he's great. He's going to put up good numbers on us probably, but the team's going to struggle to play defense, very much like UCLA. They're going to be able to score a good amount, not as much as UCLA, and they're not going to be able to play defense. That's been their problem this entire year. I think Lowry, Doosan, all these guys that have been kind of, especially Doosan and Raleigh, I think they're going to have more solid games. Being physical against these teams, I think, is going to be very good. Doosan, I think, is going to be able to get deep in the post and score on them, especially when they're not that great defensively. Kadeem Allen is going to be tough. He's going to need to be tough because he's going to be on Markel Fultz. Overall, I think that's a tough task, but Markel Fultz doesn't necessarily have the greatest length. He's not super, super big. So I kind of think Kadeem Allen and his length is going to kind of mess with Markel Fultz a little bit and maybe shut him down a little bit. I don't think Markel Fultz is really going to light it up on us. I think he'll do well. But overall, I think Kadeem Allen's going to shut him down to the point where it's a non-issue. So overall, I think U of A should be very successful this entire weekend. Just another comment on the Washington team about Lorenzo Romar leaving. Kind of makes the question whether or not he should leave with Michael Porter Jr. coming in next year. Obviously, right now, ranked the number one player in the class of 2017, just having moved above DeAndre Ayton in almost every major recruiting website. I think DeAndre Ayton will get back to being the number one before that year is over, but I think he really needs to work on it. Michael Porter Jr., obviously committed to Washington. His father, I believe, is on their staff. Makes you wonder if Washington is willing to let Lorenzo Romar just stay with another great, great recruit, and that being the only reason why he's staying, even though they have had little to no success whatsoever. It's going to be interesting to see. In my opinion, I think they should shit can him. I think they should stop stringing along no matter what the recruits they're getting. Because you don't know if Michael Porter would even leave. Maybe someone on the new staff might keep his father and he would still go to the same school. So it's definitely interesting. But if he decommits from there, obviously that hurts the Pac-12, but I wouldn't be too concerned. I think getting a new coach would be better for Washington in the long run. Because I think they're going to need to do it at some point. So obviously moving on for the Washington schools, I think that we're going to be successful this weekend. Five of the top 10 teams have lost their first game of the week. Kansas, Kentucky, Villanova, Florida State, and UCLA to USC. So U of A could really move up a lot in the rankings, really start hitting their stride and get up in the top four, buying for a one seed. Here down the stretch in January and February. So I think that they go 2-0 on the week, and we should be good. I think that we'll probably be close to number four as long as we win out coming next week. And then the last thing I want to talk about, recruiting, really quick. UCLA invited a lot of key U of A recruits that they're in a battle with UCLA, a lot of those California recruits. And they saw our dominant road win, so that should be solid for recruiting. I know a couple recruits were there, and everyone that I'm following as far as U of A targets were talking about the game, and they were watching it and stuff, even if they weren't at the game. So obviously that's a good sign. Hopefully they saw something they liked, because in the next couple of years, I think Arizona is only going on the up and up. So it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, so a little bit shorter this week. I'm going to try to keep it around this time, 40 minutes. I know last one was very, very long, so going to try to do that a little bit more. But I'm going to head to the Washington State game, and hopefully we have some good luck tonight and on Sunday. So I'll see you guys then. Bye.